Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another interview with me, your host, Sinclair Keneally, and I'm joined today by the wonderful Dr. Jess Petros, a conventionally trained medicine or medical physician who decided to forge her own path and actually go looking for the real answers for chronic illness today, which is in root cause medicine. Welcome, Dr. Jess.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Yeah, you have the perfect set of qualifications to be here because we're really looking at what has gone wrong in our approach to health today, because we really have to widen the lens and account for all of this exploding chronic illness, right? And if we're not looking for those answers and how to support the body through that instead of overriding the body's signals and symptoms, then we're really doing everybody a disservice. So I know you have a similar fiery approach. So I think this is going to be really fun.
It's perfect. Yes.
Dangerous when we get together. So one of the things that I really wanted to unpack with you a little bit today is you're quite the expert in mold. And I don't know about you, but people come to our practice and into our courses are often either unaware that mold is a serious part of their picture, or they are unfortunately aware of it and they have been put through the ringer by even their functional medicine physicians who mean well, but they keep crashing them because they do not understand how mold actually destroys certain health systems in the body. And so I want to talk about that with you and then what to do about it in a way that actually works with the body.
Absolutely. It's a journey, right? It's a journey. It's like peeling back layers of an onion for people. Yeah.
For sure. So let's start with what you see as the major ways that mold can disrupt the body and why we're not catching this sooner, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I hear a lot of medical doctors kind of buck mold and its ability to really make the body sick, right? And if you look at the science of mold, it really is a multi-system or multi-organ effect. And I tell people, because people understand this now, mold is really the OG of cytokine storms. You know, we talk about the virus today, but, you know, these moldies and people with Lyme, they felt the cytokine storm for a while. What we know from kind of the grandfather of mold, who's Dr. Richie Shoemaker, he's done a lot of research, published a lot of studies on what happens with the cytokines, the chemical communicators and messages in our body. And mold really, in the innate immune system, the macrophages and dendritic cells are kind of signaling, hey, there's a problem. Hey, humoral immune system, the other side of the immune system, do you see this problem? White flag, SOS. And the other side of the system, in these sensitive individuals, it really can't see the problem. Mm-hmm. So what if the immune system is freaking out, spinning out of control, trying to signal there's a problem? Well, the other side is a little oblivious. And so what that does to our immune system, in a very primitive description, if we split them to immune system into two different sides, is we're imbalanced. We're out of homeostasis. And so you've got one immune system that's overactive, one that's underactive, and these people really can't mount a proper normal response because of their genetic susceptibility. I also think that depending on other exposures they've had, trauma, some other things that they've had can really make the mold exposure a lot worse than it is for people. And because people don't understand, especially conventional medicine, that's not just an allergy. It's not just an allergic response. It's an immunological response for some people. And until they understand that, we're really going to be treating people the wrong way. Or really not really understanding how mold can throw the whole system out of order. And if you look in the studies, there are certain species connected to things like hepatocellular cancer or liver cancer. They're connected to things like autoimmunity, you know, things like sarcoidosis, things like Hashimoto's or autoimmunity of the thyroid. And there's all these things that are connected to mold exposures. And if I am going to be the doctor that I aspire to be, I'm going to believe the people that come and talk to me about it have had those experiences over the science that has a little bit more time to catch up. And I will tell you, it's not really the science has to catch up. It's that we have to put the pieces together because the science is really there. It's just bearing.
What a great way to put that. I totally agree with you. And I'm so glad you mentioned the thyroid and mold because it's such an eye-opener for people that come through for us. They've never heard that before.
No, I'll give you one more tidbit on that, actually, if you want. People who have a susceptibility or sensitivity to mold, they have this genotype in their genes, or what we call HLA genotype. And it's HLA-DR. D as in dog, R as in what? Rona. And so in people who have Graves' disease, which is the opposite of Hashimoto's on the other end of the autoimmunity scale, they have a hyperactive thyroid. They also are HLA-DR most of the time. And so there's a connection right there to the sensitivity to mold and how it may be connected to people with Graves' disease. Of course, more studies are needed, but it's very interesting.
That's such a great point. So many people dismiss Graves' disease because Hashi's gets all the attention in the thyroid world. And I know that there are people listening that need to hear that. So let's talk about a couple of the other serious health conditions that you mentioned that mold has a relationship to. Let's unpack those further.
Sure. So, in the studies, it's connected to a lot of different autoimmunity. I mentioned some of them. Sarcoidosis, which is, in general, there's these nodules in the lung, and they call them extrapulmonary manifestations. And they have, we really don't know what they are. And honestly, they are exposure to mold in a lot of the cases. A lot of mood disorders are connected to mold or water damaged homes in general. So many things like depression, major depressive disorder, anxiety disorder. We're now connecting things like postural orthostatic tachycardic syndrome, where people have a really fast heart rate and they feel like they're going to pass out. Their blood pressure may drop. This is also in connection to the vagus nerve, which helps control our blood pressure, autonomic nervous system, which gets rattled sometimes during a water-damaged home exposure. There are things I mentioned, Graves, Hashimoto's. There are also things like some of the lupus and rheumatoid arthritis can be biotoxin illness in general. So a mold and a Lyme connection, as those two often run in conjunction.
That's such a great point. They really are friends that seem to hang out together, aren't they?
Right? Frenemies.
Yeah, exactly. I love that we're getting more educated in the space about mold. And I also want to help people empower them today to go back and ask their practitioner more searching questions or to be more discerning in the DIY program or in the practitioner that they choose from here if they're recognizing themselves in this conversation, you know? So it doesn't take that long for mold to set up in the body, right?
No, actually, just a little piece of information for people. If you do get water damage in your home, especially in porous things like wood, things can seep underneath in the pads underneath the wood, mold can grow in as little as 24 to 48 hours. Certain species can, are really quick to incubate. And really, once we inhale those spores, we live in the perfect conditions, our body, the right temperature, for a lot of these spores to repopulate and flourish in the body. Bad news.
Bad news bears, yeah. What about mold and hormones? I've heard you talk about that before. I think this is a particular passion of yours.
Yes, there's a big connection, actually, and this surprises a lot of people because you wouldn't think that mold could necessarily cause an estrogen dominance, but we now have it connected, especially in a lot of animal studies, but the human studies are starting to come out now, and the specific mold species that are connected are known endocrine disruptors or hormone mimickers, I should say, and the one is zearalenone. And that's a certain mold species. The other one is a little more popular, ochratoxin. It's not quite as strong as zearalenone, but it's still nonetheless an endocrine disruptor. And when I say an endocrine disruptor, I mean that if they get inside the body, they're very similar in structure to some of our hormones like estrogen. And when structures are very similar, they can bind to the same receptors sometimes, sort of fool the body and mimic and throw the body out of sorts because the body thinks there's an imbalance in the hormones and the receptor sites and everything that's bound to them. And this estrogen dominance can, in animals anyway, in the studies, cause things like an increased labia when piglets are born. It can really show in the physical structure of the animals where their hormones and their reproductive organs are off. So it begs the question, right? It begs the question, these animals are being fed moldy hay, maize, or corn with zearalenone mold growing in it, or fusarium, which is the type of mold that contains zearalenone mycotoxin. And if they're eating that mold and then the babies are being born with these reproductive abnormalities, it begs the question, if we're getting small doses of this in our food every day, if we're exposed to homes that are being built out of concordance with how nature was, how does this affect humans with slight small exposures over chronic periods? How? We're not really sure how to answer that question.
It's so interesting because we think about like mold, as people become more and more educated about this, we think about it like as an external problem in the environment, and that it can tank your health if you continue to live in it. But the internal environment is really the perfect space for mold to set up shop. And what I often say is like your college dorm room counts, or it had that weird black spot that kept growing and growing in your closet. And you just kind of didn't want to look at it because you didn't want to clean it.
I feel like you're calling me out, girl.
Yeah, we're like, oh, my dorm. Yes. Like, damn it, she's 55 now.
Right. It's everybody has it, guys. I'm telling you, we all got this story. Seriously, where none of us get out alive without these exposures.
So true. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, understanding where mold can affect the body and, show up in these various ways. What are some of the symptoms that would help people know? Because it can present so differently for person to person, right? You can have like family of five in one house of mold, and they'd all be showing different symptoms that seem unrelated, right?
This is such a good point of education for me, for the rest of the people watching, because there's so many things like this when you get into root causes of chronic illness, especially chronic preventable illness. There's not that many root causes. But when pushed through people's genes or their own personal soup of exposures that they've had, it comes out different based on the individual and those said genes. And so it's such a good point that you say this. Mold is a great example of this. So here is something that we know that produces mycotoxins, right? They're probably producing mycotoxins because we're building with toxic building materials, right?
Mm.
Drywall, also known as gypsum, ironically, when it's wet, it never dries. It's the perfect feeding material for stacky boy trees, the black mold. It has the high cellulose content that just feeds it. And so it makes you wonder, like, all these VOCs in paint and toxic carpet, and are we feeding these mycotoxins possibly? And what's really causing us to be ill here? So mycotoxins are volatile organic compounds. You guys have heard of formaldehyde and benzene. Mycotoxins produce or off-gas some of these same type of materials or volatile organic compounds. And these VOCs, for short, are able to bind to our DNA. They're very highly reactive, able to bind to our DNA, damage our DNA, cause chemical bonds that break DNA. And these are things that age us, cause illness over time, make our body not perform the proper biochemical reactions when it should and how it should. And over time, our body can't keep up, especially if there's an exposure day in and day out. So let's say Billy's exposed to mold, a certain type of mold, and maybe Billy's hormones get all messed up, right? Maybe he starts to have an estrogen dominance. His testosterone falls a lot. He starts to not be able to sleep. His stamina falls. His brain fog. Another person may get rashes. They may get heart palpitations. They may also have brain fog or feel like they're getting Alzheimer's. I hear a lot of mold patients say, I feel like I'm getting Alzheimer's. There are general things that people will feel symptoms, but when you get to the point of a label or diagnosis, your body is going to respond a different way because you're individual and you're unique. You're bio-individual. That's what makes you you. You're not going to be the exact same as your neighbor. But that makes it really difficult for us as practitioners to kind of figure out the root cause. That's why it's difficult sometimes, you guys. But it is a catch-all.
So true.
Yeah.
I'm I love that you're pointing this out and helping to draw out this picture for everybody, because I'm on a mission to help people recognize these root causes earlier so they don't have to go through the years of suffering that I did.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but everybody that comes through our practice, we are not their first stop, whether 10th, their 15th, sometimes their 20th. You know, and for them to finally start getting results and feel like they're not crazy and that they're actually listened to, it's like, hey, we just have to look in the right direction, guys. All the information is here. This is clearly visible on the right labs. This is not a mystery.
Yes, totally. And, you know, it's, I will say a lot of the mold labs are nuanced. They're nuanced. You need someone who not only is a little educated, but also can match up symptomatology with the patient or the client. Because if they feel great, the results aren't quite as relevant. If they feel terrible, the results are way more relevant. And if they have signs and symptoms that we know come with mold, then we can kind of match this up. And there are ways to match up what mycotoxins are being produced in a house and make sure, or a water damaged building, and make sure they are the same mycotoxins that are being found in the body. So we do try and have some science here that makes sense logically to everyone.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite testing methods for both the body and the home?
For sure. You know, we do have blood work labs that Dr. Shoemaker made pretty famous. I usually don't take a lot of those labs because they're not covered by insurance and they can rack up pretty can be expensive. Mycotoxin urine mycotoxin tests are lovely too. They also are a pretty penny because they're, you know, about $300 a pop. But there's some really great brands out there that are testing upwards of, you know, 30 or more different types of mycotoxins. And that's really useful for me, especially for suspecting a house for people. I do want to make the point that I never just do a mycotoxin test alone and look for mold. I also will do a, you know, HERTSME or ERMI to test the house and see and look for bacteria too, because it's not just mold that grows in a water damaged home. It's actually things like gram negative bacteria that produce endotoxins from LPS or lipopolysaccharide. That's their cell wall. They byproducts are super toxic to our body. There's even a gram-positive bacteria called actinomycetes that I love a company called EnviroBiomedics.com. It's kind of a silly name, EnviroBiomedics, excuse me. I love them because they test for actinomycetes as well as mold and gram-negative bacteria. And if you have all that together, that's really the full picture for why people might be ill. But it's not, this is not something that's covered by insurance.
Yeah, you really got to take responsibility for getting the answers yourself. Or you don't want to wait for our healthcare system to catch up, guys. You're going to save so much time and money if you just make that investment for yourself.
I do hope in our lifetime that it does become more accessible for people. I would be so happy.
Yeah, I think it's going to come from stuff like this where we just create a groundswell and people demand it. What do you mean? This is so obvious. We have to test for this.
Right?
That's my dream.
My dream too. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned mental and emotional symptoms earlier. That's a particular passion of mine. We're building relationships with therapy startups to help therapists start to recognize some of these root causes. Because if I could have taken even a little bit of that money that I spent on therapy and applied it to some of these tests earlier on, my life would have changed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many people out there like this that spend their time with doctor after doctor and on, you know, plan after plan and dollar after dollar and just don't see the improvement that they want to have. And that's often why people don't think that holistic or integrative functional medicine may be for them, because someone didn't find their recipe. And that's the thing about functional medicine. There's not this black and white path. You know, everyone's so different. So
what do you like to, let's open up the frame a little bit beyond mold, because I really want to hear from you. What do you look for when someone comes to you and they've been to 10 or 15 other doctors? Like, where do you start with them?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my patients when I was doing one-on-ones, they came to me like that. It's something I saw often. And it's very disheartening to hear patients say, I've seen 39 doctors. no one believes me. They think I'm crazy. I told them this and I got yelled at. I got fired by this doctor. You know, I hear that so much. So when someone comes to me like that, the first thing I do, you know, the hour I spend with them or hour and a half, depending on what they're dealing with, that I spent with them was really getting to know them, making sure they trusted me and liked my style, making sure I explained why I was asking certain questions and why they were relevant. And because I feel like so many people, when they go to doctors, they're given plans and they don't have it explained to them. And they don't understand why doctors are asking certain questions. And they don't understand why doctors are making that face and writing that down. And you know what I mean? And I don't like that. I want people to, I think they're smart enough to understand their body. I think they're smart enough to understand the science, because if you're really good at understanding the science, you should be able to explain it to anyone that's an adult. Like, I truly believe that. Like, if you can't do that, then what's wrong with you? Like, you aren't being transparent, or you don't understand the science enough. And there's no reason you shouldn't tell people. You don't have time. Well, then that's our system's broken now, isn't it? So yeah. Even though insurance covers things and it's affordable, I can't work in a system where I don't feel like they're paying for the right things that heal people anyway. And if you're giving me, if insurance is not paying me enough and I have to see patients every 6 minutes, I'm out of that system. I'm sorry that insurance doesn't cover the things that are needed. We're not there yet. But literally, like, you have to start with the beginning with people. You have to make them comfortable. You have to understand why you're asking, tell them, explain why you're asking questions, what my thought pattern is, why I'm going down the road I'm going. And then you have to explain to them exactly what you think is going on and be honest with how long it'll take you to get them better. And, you know, you also have to let them know that sometimes if they have medical PTSD, because a lot of them at this point do.
Yeah.
You have to kind of like hold their hand a little bit more and not get frustrated and talk them into, because some of them feel like they're going to die if they take a supplement because they've been given the wrong supplements.
Or they come in on an Excel spreadsheet with the supplements and they think they're going to die if you try to simplify that to make room for the protocol that's actually going to deal with root causes.
Yes.
Okay, we got to turn the boat, guys. This is too much information for the body, you know?
Totally. I completely agree with you. And I see that a lot in functional medicine and, of course, in conventional medicine, which started it all, is this spot treating symptomatology. And it's like sort of my pet peeve. You shouldn't chase symptoms all the time. What are those from? I don't want to spot treat symptoms. All these symptoms can be from the liver. So does this person need a liver cleanse rather than spot treating everything that comes from that organ or that cause? So it's really, no one's doing anything wrong. It's just more of a perspective change, right?
Yeah. And continued education. Like, that's why I think you and I are so passionate about educating practitioners, because you look at MDs, you get 7 hours in your entire medical career being trained about environmental toxins, if you get any at all. There are tens of thousands of studies on environmental toxins. This is not like, does it affect the body? Like, yeah, we know it does.
It does. We know it does. And for some reason, these studies haven't been quantified. And in medicine, that seems to be really important. Like, oh, it's generally accepted as safe. Oh, in this small dose, it's safe. But we forget that there's a cumulative effect of the dose with all these toxins over time. And we've always been told the dose makes the poison. Is that really true when we're exposed to tiny doses chronically over time that are cumulative?
That's such a good point. Yeah, I think about my own health history and being exposed to mold multiple times, plus, you know, several, like six silver amalgam or mercury amalgam fillings. You know, not so good for the thyroid. You know, in conjunction, not so hot.
Yeah, or the brain, right? Either one. Yeah. And you got to think, you know, there are these nerves that connect each one tooth that could go right into the cranial cavity, right? And we know mercury is a neurotoxin. Like, we know it is. So I'm with you. We were in the age where that's what they did when you were little and you got a cavity, right? They put mercury in your mouth. It's tied for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got to come out, guys. That's on a different tack. Don't worry.
Yeah. Even the American Dental Association agrees now. Even they're saying this now. Yeah.
That's a big turnaround from where they were even a few years ago.
I agree.
I think the last legal opinion they published defending amalgam fillings was in 2018.
Eek.
God, you guys.
Get with it.
So back to you, my love. One of the things that I really want to highlight is your expertise in how these root causes fit together, kind of like we're discussing now. What other root causes do you look for aside from mold when you encounter somebody who's been ill for quite some time and hasn't cracked the nut?
You know, that's a great question. I have a whole course called The Roadmap to Health and Wellness Plus that's about this, but let's spill the tea here. So honestly, parasites are another one I look for. Of course, I've mentioned one, which is Lyme disease. It often runs with mold, and Lyme is sort of a precursor that if you're exposed to mold, mold can kind of be the igniter of everything that seemed to be in remission, right? It's kind of that dirty thing. Some other root causes, trauma is a root cause. We've even seen this in published studies in conventional medicine with the adverse childhood event score and how you have a higher risk of autoimmunity and hospitalization from autoimmunity, the higher the childhood traumas or adverse childhood event score is in your life. So we know that this is a root cause as well. I definitely think that childhood trauma plays into this, and even continued trauma or stress into adulthood keeps a lot of us pinged in that flight or fight or survival mode where we're imbalanced and the body doesn't work well out of homeostasis. So your glands, your organs don't secrete things like they're supposed to or work quite like they're supposed to. And this is a root cause that people often don't think about because it happens so insidiously over time. They can't see that they're stuck in that on position all the time. So that is something I often have to retrain their brain before we can get into the supplements that get into following through with some of the things that help them proactively with their health. Other things, we mentioned some like fillings, root canals are a big one that is a root cause that people will absolutely get mad at me about for saying because their dentist told them it was okay. And it's not okay. They fail usually after 8 to 10 years. It's the only place we leave dead necrotic tissue in the body. There are thousands of microtubules inside of each tooth where bacteria can stay and repopulate. And it really causes a lot of brain fog and chronic conditions. Weston Price even connected cancer to them. Breast implants are another one. A lot of women don't want to hear that. And I completely understand. I actually don't like telling them because who wants to tell someone that? Like, come on. But it's a big root cause that I wouldn't be honest with people if I didn't bring up. They also usually start to bother people at the 8 to 10 mark. They often leach silicone. Sometimes they have upwards of 50 different chemicals, including epoxy resin, volatile organic compounds, and heavy metals. So
we got to be honest about this stuff.
Yeah, I hate to tell people that because they spend thousands to look a certain way that becomes a part of them. And then I'm asking them to spend thousands again to remove something like a root canal or breast implants. Right. So it's a very hard discussion. But those are really the main things I look for in people. Everyone's a little bit different, but you have to kind of unravel each person's story or trajectory. Their antecedents, triggers, exposures over time all matter. And so that's why you need to spend time with people an hour, hour and a half every time to sort of tease apart that story to figure out where the root causes were missed. Where do you have something stuck inside your body that doesn't belong there? Or where are you stuck or stagnant in your body? Usually people have 1, 2 multiple organ systems in their body that are sluggish and are a little overwhelmed, if you will. And when that happens, you have exposures every day, but you're not really able to release them every day like your body wants to because we're so bombarded. So I try to really figure out where they're stuck and how the trauma plays a role in that, how the exposures play a role in that. How can we correct any daily exposures, correct any daily thinking and patterns, really reel in their diet and their everyday stresses?
Yeah, that's so important. What a great list. I know that I've got two types of folks in our audience. One is that newbie to taking control of their health. They're just taking it back now. And they're like, okay, I'm going out in search of my own answers. It's a really empowering time where it's like a hailstorm of information, right? We've given those people so many good nuggets today. And then I've got my, what I lovingly call our summit junkies, highly educated, super sophisticated, often know more than, you know, any given practitioner about what's going on in their body, you know? They know what's up.
Love it. I love it. So they are their own best doctors. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I really think this is the way of the future, where we are our own doctors, you know. And I love empowering everybody in our audience that feels the same way. So I know that there's a section of them that are hanging out in this interview going, I already know about my mold. I've gotten 3 or 4 panels of, you know, looking at this over time. And, you know, I went to this allopathic person and this allopathic person, they missed it. But then I went to functional medicine, they caught it, but then they crashed me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Working on it. So I would love to explore that with you, because I know you and I both have really strong opinions about how to approach this in a way that actually works for the body.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
If you're impatient, you may not like my program so much, because I'm going to teach you patience too with this one, because I don't jump people right into a detox. I don't get you to be like, dang, parasites, Lyme disease, mold, got it all. We're going to kill right now everything off in your body with these herbs that are super powerful, and hopefully you'll stay afloat. I just don't do that to people. There are some people who do it, not because they're mean, just because they don't know. And people, even conventional doctors, will do this with antibiotic therapy. Some people can't handle diet from antibiotics either. And so you got to think, if you're stuck, guys, let's say you don't poop every day. Let's say you don't sweat very well at all. That's not normal, by the way. So if that happens, though, and I start killing things off in your body, you're kind of going to recirculate all the byproducts and things we're killing off. You're not able to really release them from the body. Why? Because you're not pooping, right? You're not sweating things out. So your body holds on to everything, and then you feel like you have the flu. So I hate that for people, because I think it doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. Every now and then you'll get somebody who's super sensitive and they need to retrain their brain usually. This one, yep. When that happens, right? Because it's usually more about you're sensitive to everything because your brain is pinged, and so the body is reacting in suit. So that's my pet peeve when people do that. I like to prep you guys, your body. And that means open drainage pathways. That means making sure your liver is able to process things properly, making sure you're kind of sleeping okay, your energy's decent, you're pooping at least once a day, right? If not, we have to work on that over the course of a month. If you can't sweat within 20 minutes, 30 minutes, we're going to have to work on that a little bit before I can get you guys really, really better. And honestly, believe it or not, some people will be like, I want to feel better now. And I can tell you that most people do feel better just doing that. Right? Hasn't that been your experience too, Sinclair?
Yeah, there's so many early wins when you actually respect the stages the body wants to do this in. You do not have to withstand herxing and crashing. It is not a necessary element to resolving these root causes. And so thrilled to hear you talk this way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not necessary. And I don't really think we have to force the body to do anything. We can work with the body. It's very intelligent. It's smarter than every practitioner. And so how can we work with it to show us the way? And if you guys are reacting to everything, let's say that you're reacting to like water or homeopathy or something really gentle, that lets me know that we need to start with your brain and your trauma. Or there's a daily exposure that's really throwing, your body can't handle anymore. Like your toxin bucket's sort of overflowing, if you will, right? And so we would have to treat every person individually. And you need someone who understands what you're going through and really works with you and will be patient with you and resonates with you. And if that's not everyone, and that's okay. That's okay.
I totally agree with you. And I'm thinking about the practitioners in our audience as well right now. So many of them come to mentor with us because they say, I'm tired of crashing people. We know that method is not working.
Yeah.
You know, so I would love for you to speak just to the practitioners right now that are open to learning a different way of doing it and are excited to expand their bucket of tools. Like, where would you suggest they start? You know,
or
how should they be thinking about this?
No, I have my favorite supplement companies, I would say, but the first month for me isn't about throwing supplements at people, because like he mentioned earlier, when people come to us, they're either A, afraid to take anything, or they're on like 30 different things that are just like insane. And so you really have to reel them in and give them a different perspective and make them feel safe. And so for the first month, a lot of times I won't throw supplements at people. And if I need to, I never do more than like 4 to 6. And I start people on one thing at a time. So I know when they, if they have a reaction, exactly what's causing it. You know, I give them a day or 24 hours before I start the next thing. And then if there's someone sensitive, I just keep them to like extracurricular activities, I call it. And that means Epsom salt baths and just really things to calm down inflammation in the body. You may give them something like frankincense and give them Epsom salt baths and castor oil packs. And, you know, enemas are usually my second tier treatment because they're just sort of intimidating. Right. I get them in a sauna if they don't have pots or they don't have pass out easy. And if they do, I'll put them in a sauna for 2 minutes each week and we'll add a minute on. And we go extremely slow. So I know that the body is open. And I want them to be able to tolerate caffeine a little bit. I want them to be able, if they have a drink, not to have a hangover for 3 days because their liver needs work, right? I want them to be pooping 2 to 3 times per day and not seeing undigested food in their stool, not seeing, you know, not having rabbit pellets and feeling incomplete evacuation. I want them to have restorative sleep and feel like they're not wired but tired all day long. And so these are some of the yellow flags that you want to look for if your client is not going to be able to tolerate some of the things that you might put them on. You really want to start slow, calm things down, make sure they're not perfect but improved in a little bit more normalcy before you go throwing a bunch of things at them. And oftentimes that's really just retraining the brain, and you'll start to notice they're able to tolerate more foods. They're able to tolerate maybe supplements they couldn't before. And just patience and really checking in, good communication. And really knowing that drainage pathways is the most successful way I have come over the years and years of just trying things out and experience and helping people to be able to tolerate a detox.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I think we got to stop trying to flush a clogged toilet. Good results. It's not going to end well. And then you're going to hear about it. You know, they're going to come into your practice and they're going to be freaking out, and it's totally unnecessary.
Yeah, it is. And they might be mad at you. You know, they might be a little upset and they may think, I'm never going to do this detoxing thing again. It's crap and it's quackery. And we don't want people to feel that way. We want them to be like, wow, this changed my life, because there is a way to do either.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to keep our eye on the prize, you know, what I like to say and end every interview with, because I think of these interviews as like my love letters to the people who went through what I went through. You know, what would I have wanted to hear back then? What did I need to hear? And like, can you just bottom line it for me? Because I can't like think that well right now. So can you just get real clear for me?
Yeah.
Any impatient sick.
I can understand how you get that way. Seriously.
No, right. Yeah. If you can't read an email and if you can't write a sentence, it's got to be real quick.
That's right. Short and sweet and to the point. Come on. That's all right.
So I just love that how empowering your approach is, because I think we need to remember and keep our eye on the prize. Like, the body knows what to do. The body's brilliant. No matter how long you've been sick, if you know how to work with the body and actually support it in the order that it wants to heal, it's never too late to see improvements, right?
Just always remember, guys, that the body's pain and discomfort and things that are happening are just, it's just talking to you. These are communications to let you know something is happening, and you have to check in, because there's not everything that feels bad is always bad, right? And some things that feel bad are bad. So it's really a point to where you're not only healing yourself, but you're learning to get to know yourself better and what certain messages mean and when they're important messages to pay attention to or not. And that's something that only you can really learn in your own body over time.
That's such a good point. What a wonderful way to close. Do you have anything else you'd like to share, Dr. Jess?
No, I just thank you for telling me it was an empowering approach. That is my goal, is to give people hope and let them believe that they can heal, because I was pretty depressed as a physician in conventional medicine, because it was just pretty doom and gloom all the time. And I just have seen a different approach and way. And I want people to understand that it is possible.
We need to. I love what a firebrand you are in the space. Yes. And what a loving presence you are. Let's call everybody forward into health. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.